There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, June 23rd, 2018. And we thank you for joining us, and we've got a full house this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we've got Brother Tim from Washington with us again. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And, of course, we've got the Ramrod with us, Jonathan. Good morning, and thanks for joining us, sir.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to you, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here, because we do gather in the name of Jesus Christ. And, of course, the Word says, where two or more gather in that name, in His name, that He is there also. And so we welcome you. Pull up a chair and join us and guide and direct us this morning. And we welcome you, the remnant, for tuning in this Saturday morning. And so, well, John, we'll have the phone lines open, but if you'd open us up in prayer, that's where we need to start, that's for sure.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all of our many blessings. We ask that you would forgive us, Lord, for the things that we take for granted, that you do for us and our families and our brethren on a day-to-day basis. Father, this morning we just ask for wisdom and guidance, Lord. We ask that you would give us a understanding, hearing, and hearkening heart to the Holy Spirit. Father, lead us to what it is that's important for your people to understand, and show us how it ties in with Scripture and with the prophecies of the last days. Your word is clear that in the last days knowledge would increase, and Father, we see that. We also see that your word is clear that the things that were done in the dark will be brought to the light when your people who are called by your name humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways. And Father, we've seen that. We've seen an uprise, Lord, of your people in the land. Some of those who claim the title of Christian are moving forward in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and not only Christians, but becoming followers of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, they're spreading the gospel, fulfilling the Great Commission. Father, I thank you specifically, Lord, for the things that you revealed to us over the last few years. The fact that Hebrews 1:14 says that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels, and that we can use those angels to help us in many different ways. And ministering angels can be sent forth to those people that we're trying to reach, those people who may have a hardened heart, Lord. The crust of the world has kept them from softening their heart and coming to repentance. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and we do ask that you would send those ministering angels out ahead of your servants, Lord, those who boldly proclaim, "Here I am, Lord, use me. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do?" Father, we ask for you to send your guardian angels as well, Lord, to protect those that are yours from those that come only to steal, kill, and destroy, and they're all around us. And we thank you for the answer to the parable that in the last days, the terrors will become bold and brazen, and we're seeing that, Lord, all around us. They boast, and they're proud of their sin. They're proud of their ungodly, immoral ways. And we thank you, Lord, for that promise as well. So we just ask that this morning you would lead us, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit lead, and we give you all the praise and all the glory and the name above all other names, Jesus Christ the Nazarene. Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Remnant, again, thanks for joining us. And if you're wondering about that, you know, John, you mentioned the tares in your prayer, and that's found in Matthew 13. We might get to read that today. But it is. It describes our time today, where we are, and it describes the enemies that are there. I want to start off with a positive note. Saw this week, said, Texas man sends a Utah City $50 and an apology note 75 years after his crime. He says, I was a stupid teenager. And there was just, when you read the news article, it's one little thing, but the note he said, to the public works, I'm enclosing $50 to pay for a stop sign I took many years ago when I was a thoughtless teenager. Stupid might be a better word for it. Anyway, I'm trying to remember the things I've done and trying to do restitution as well as I can. I'm almost 90 years old, and all these things have made me sorrow over the few things I did when I was young. I wish to be forgiven by the Lord, so I am sorry and truly repentant. Please use the money for a new stop sign, okay? Thank you very much. And
said now they're going to hit them with the taxes and penalties, and so that
well,
stop sign's $500 now.
Yeah, they're about $380 is what it said. But
really.
Yeah, but one of the nice things is he didn't sign his name to it. You know, he just said a concerned citizen in Texas. But there's a couple things in here that I thought were pretty interesting, caught my eye. One, you know, that he says, I'm trying to do restitution as well as I can. And you know, that's a biblical term. They talk about, you know, there's no restitution in the public or the justice system today, the injustice system. There's no restitution. It's a moneymaker. We've talked about that, how the prisons have gone private, how you know, the judges, they make money when they can put people away. The entire system is corrupt, and so there is no restitution. The rights of the victim and the victim's family, nobody cares about that. It's the poor perpetrator that we have to take care of. And it's his rights that are most important. And but anyway, I just thought it was interesting that this man, that he wrote it out. He says, I'm trying to do restitution as well as I can, and I wish to be forgiven by the Lord. And I think he understands that, yeah, we can be forgiven, but there's some things that, I would imagine this has been bugging this man for years. That when he's come to the Lord is my understanding, and that he's wanting to make things right, and spiritually, but there's a physical part of it as well, physically as well, and it seems like that's what he's doing. So thought that was pretty neat, and wanted to share that this morning. It was encouraging to me that there is repentance out there, in many ways.
It would be more encouraging to me if it read that he was convicted, repented, and was born again of the water and the Spirit through proper immersion baptism, because that, you know, the Bible's clear that we go into that watery grave, we die to our old life, we're born again of the water and the Spirit, and we're clothed with Christ. We receive
yes.
the gift of the Holy Spirit, and our names entered into the Lamb's Book of Life, and that is much more important than trying to make it right with the world, because the world is insignificant in the spiritual realm.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I saw a story yesterday that caught my eye, and especially with the controversies that this church has faced over the years. But it basically says megachurch forced to remove a billboard, and then you think, you know, well, what's the billboard? You got to see the billboard, right? And typically, you think it's going to be something radical or something like that. But these days, that's not the case. Anyways, the message was advertising Freedom Sunday in Dallas, First Baptist in Dallas, on June 24th, and said, special message, America is a Christian nation. And the church faced all kinds of pushback from the mayor and some of the city council and things like that, to the point where the billboard company canceled their contract and removed the billboards. So that's pretty concerning. But they interviewed the pastor, Pastor Jeffers, and he said the whole idea was based on Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And the thought occurred to me, was it 1982 or 1983? I think it was in 82.
Yes.
That both houses of Congress passed public law 97-280 that said that the Bible is the Word of God, and that we would do wise to follow its teachings, and that America is a Christian nation. And it's sad to see how far a nation can fall in not a lot of years, really. You know, what is that, 35 years, somewhere around there?
Yep. Yeah, it was. It was approved in 1982, and I'll read just the first little bit of it here, but it's Public Law 97-280 from October 4th, 1982. On the 97th Congress, it's a joint resolution. It says, authorizing and requesting the president to proclaim 1983 as the year of the Bible. And it just the first two little paragraphs says, whereas the Bible, the Word of God, has made a unique contribution in shaping the United States as a distinctive and blessed nation and people, whereas deeply held religious convictions springing from the Holy Scriptures led to the early settlement of our nation. And then you read on, it says, the biblical teachings inspired concepts of civil government that are contained in the Declaration and the Constitution. And you just go on through where the history illustrates the biblical values. But the Antichrist, the ungodly, they hate that. And they continue to fight it with everything, anything and everything that they can. The lines being drawn, you know, as for me and my house, we're a Christian household. We serve the Lord. And we know that there are many in the remnant out there that are that way. Those that will not, well, they will receive their just due for proclaiming that. It's there in Matthew that says, our words either justify us, or our words condemn us. And the line's being drawn. The words are being said. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, it says in Revelation, and the word of our testimony. And that's our words. And they are condemned by their words.
Yeah, it's interesting how when you mention that, how many people have never heard it, and they don't believe it until you show it to them. And I actually, the ministry has like a frameable quality copy of that, don't they, Jason?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's available if you'd like. And I have one of those, and I put it up in my office at work, in a secular place. And you get a lot of comments about people, wow, I didn't know that. Really? Is this for real?
Right.
And yeah, it is. It's for real. In the way that the country used to be, and it's the way that the country can be again if his people who are called by his name humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways.
Yes.
There's a movement of those people happening. There's a what we need is not just a revival, but rejuvenation in the spirit.
Yes.
To come to the place where, in obedience, where we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, where we're willing to put aside our selfish wills, wants, and desires, not our needs, but our wills, wants, and desires. And that's what the Lord wants. I mean, in reality, through Scripture, he wants our hearts to
Amen.
Be dedicated to him and to doing his work. And I got to admit, I'm a ways from there. I'm working towards it. I've gained a lot of ground, but that's quite an encounter to get to that place. And you can't get there without the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I don't believe that you can get there without a hearing, understanding, and hearkening heart to the Holy Spirit, where you can follow the direction of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it is a heart matter. He tells us to rend your heart and not your garment. When people read of the Old Testament, they read about that you know, when there was great sin in the land or even great sorrow, you know, that's what the people would do. They would rip their clothing. They would rip their garments. And that was an outward sign of showing the grief or the lamenting that they were doing. And that was a tradition. That was what they did, a way of life. It was part of society. Well, he tells us, rend your heart, tear your heart, let your heart be softened. The heart of man has grown cold today. And that's why they've turned from God and turned from their fellow man. And the answer is there. And when that happens, he will hear from heaven and will come and will heal and forgive. But it's not until that. It's not until then that those hearts are rendered and that repentance is sought.
Yeah, and it's what happens. You see a lot of lip service. There's people that praise him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a big difference between, you know, praising him with your lips and having your heart towards him. It's rending your heart. You know, like John said, you know, people got to be brought down to that point where they truly believe it, they truly mean it, they truly want it, they desire it. It's not just saying one thing. There's a lot of people are out there. I think about the scripture all the time in Galatians. Galatians 6, I think, does a really good job of what we're seeing today. And, you know, people are, you know, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And right now, there's a lot of people that are reaping what they've sown. And their hearts are far from God. You know, they might praise him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And they're, and until that gets broken down and people really, truly get away from that, you're not going to see a change.
You're just going to hear whining. You're just going to hear whining.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lacking of perseverance and enduring. You know, that the people that we live in an instantaneous society. I want it now. You know, it's not good enough that you can go to a Subway and get a sub made in 2 minutes. You can get the app. You can just order it on your way. So you just drive through, they've got it ready for you. You don't even have to wait, you know, the 2 minutes to make your sandwich. We live in such an instantaneous, I want it now. True Christianity, true followers of Jesus Christ, is a lifestyle. It is. It's a different way of living. It's not something just for, you know, that 45 minutes that they get pumped up on Sunday morning, you know, with some almost rock music and feel good words. No, it's not. It's we are to persevere. We are to endure. We're to be overcomers. You know, we see that in Revelation, that he who overcomes is saved. There's a lot, certainly a lot more to it than you just hear, believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. That's there, but that's not all that's there. And you're right, John, the people don't realize it. They don't know because they don't read their Bibles. We've sent cases and cases and cases out in the prisons and just, you know, cases of people out that of Bibles out to people that have bought them that, you know, people need to read the Word. And when they do, they need to pray for understanding. And as you said earlier, have that repentance and immersion baptism for the forgiveness of sins, for the washing away of their sins, so that they can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then that Holy Spirit will guide and direct them. It'll open up the Scriptures to them. But if they don't have a Bible, you know, how are they gonna read it? And if they have it, if they do have it and are reading it, you know, they need that understanding. Just like that, public law. It's not taught. It's purposefully been not taught. The Christian founding of this nation, the Christian character of our founding fathers have been misaligned and lied about and not taught just in the last couple generations to where it's anything goes.
Yeah, what's been encouraging is the Bible law course that we send into the prisons. And I've talked to several prisoners over the years who said that was a turning point for them in their life. It gave them hope and a peace, you know, that there's something more than where they're at right now in their lives, and they strived for better. And then just recently, Jason's idea was to go ahead and offer that to the general public as well, because it's such a good course on understanding Bible law, and we just did that in the last newsletter, and I think we've got a pretty good response on that. But I think it's just it's encouraging to see, especially our people, you know, those who are called by His name, that are taking their walk more seriously. There are those that are praying for ministering angels to be sent ahead. We have this Wednesday morning prayer breakfast that I kind of lead here locally, and anywhere from probably, I don't know, 10 to 16 men show up on a regular basis. And the things that we take for granted, the things that we've learned over the last 25 years or whatever, a lot of these men have never heard before, and they're hungering and they're thirsting for the truth. But one of the things that was really encouraging was as we were walking out this Wednesday morning, there was an older lady that was driving in the parking lot, and she just stopped and she just said, she had tears in her eyes. She says, "It does my heart so good to see young men that are, you know, serving the Lord and willing to, you know, delve into the Word." And she was heading up into Wyoming somewhere, and we just stopped and we had prayer with her, and she was just overwhelmed by the power of the prayer, you know, that we've learned from our pastor, and obviously the leading of the Holy Spirit. You can always tell when someone's making a prayer up or if it's the leading of the Holy Spirit, because if you're praying it, you know, because you don't remember what you prayed. But there's a lot of encouraging things going on, but my concern is that so many times in the past that His people would fall asleep again as the watchman over the house of Israel. And in reality, it's not just one prophet that's set as the watchman on the wall. It's all of us who claim to be the followers of Jesus Christ. We're to be the watchmen. We're to be the ones that share the gospel, that fulfill the Great Commission, that warn the people. And that's kind of what the message the Lord's given me for tomorrow, Lord willing. And I think it's an important message that we all understand, that we're not only to, you know, we're to be doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word.
Exactly. And I think that's really important too. You know, it's you know, you got to act upon what you know, otherwise what you know ain't going to do you a bit of good. You know, here in Colorado, it was, I don't know if any of you guys saw the news on it, but this week, Chicken Looper, no good SOB that he is, he went ahead and adopted, signed an executive order, and they're calling it, I can't remember exactly what they're calling it, but they're adapting the California-style low-emissions vehicle standards under an executive order. So basically, we're adapting emissions. And, you know, which a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, okay, well, this is great, right? We're going to make the environment cleaner. We're going to cut down on emissions. Well, yeah, but really nobody has any idea what's involved in that. Basically, under the new law, you know, they're saying that it's not going to go into effect until 2025. They said it's going to get them a year to get the paperwork done on it. But at the same time, it makes it impossible. You can't register anything in the state of Colorado that's older than a 1992. If you got something older than a 1992, it makes it impossible to even get it registered. It also makes it illegal if you hook a stock trailer up to a pickup truck and drive down the road. You're going to have a CDL, and you're going to have DOT numbers and all that kind of sort of thing. And, I mean, it's just, there's absolutely no exemption out here in Colorado. We've got what people call farm plates, and all the farmers and everything run those around here. And it's, it does away with the farm plates. It does away with everything. I mean, and under these new emissions laws, it takes every, you know, a lot of these farmers that are in this area are just still using, you know, 1950s, 1960s tractors out in their fields. They're using them for, you know, raking hay or cutting hay or baling hay or, you know, stuff. I mean, any rhyme or reason. And it's not just in the farming industry, but it's in the agriculture business and it's in the landscape business. I mean, we've got a lot of used equipment out here that's many years old. It'll make, under these new laws, it will make everything have to be registered. If you got a tractor that you use out there for cutting or baling hay, that tractor is under these new laws that they're drafting is going to have to be registered and have a sticker on it and have passed an emissions test.
Wow, that means they have some kind of mobile emission test, probably.
Yep.
Well, you know where Chicken Looper just got back from, don't you?
No, I don't.
Well, he was at the Bilderberg Group.
Oh, was he?
In California, yep. Yeah, you don't hear any reporting on that. But, well, you know, in their eyes, he's a superstar in the Democratic Party, and their goal is to possibly raise him up to presidential status at some point, which is good for us because he's an idiot. But, yeah, I hadn't heard that. That's pretty significant. But see, that's where.
And it's interesting. What's interesting is to me is I was talking with some people around here, and they're like, "Really? I had no idea." He's always so pro farm. You know, he's pro farmer. He shows up and he supports this and he supports that. And you know, I mean, the other thing that they don't tell you is that he left his wife for his one of his gay lovers. And
exactly.
I mean, yeah. So.
Yeah, and that he's an alcoholic or any of that.
Right.
But see, that's where we come in. That's where we need to start going to these city council meetings, and if nothing else, just sit there and pray and keep people in check. And we need to replace governors like that, the communist, antichrist governors with his people. And it can be done if we're willing to put in the effort to do it. Mostly through prayer. That's, I think, the biggest thing that we have to do is be willing to take the time in prayer. You know, life's so crazy and so busy being under Satan's yoke. That,
right.
And which is true. Anything that keeps you from doing what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord is being under Satan's yoke. And we're all guilty of it. But we need to find that time, set that time aside, whether it's early in the morning or late in the evening or middle of the afternoon, whatever it is, and dedicate that time to the Lord. I mean, if you think about it, there's been a huge uprising of Muslims all across the country and through the world, but you know, in a lot of ways, and a lot of people don't like to hear it, but they're more loyal to their God than we are. I mean, the fact that they throw a rug down on the ground hit their knees and pray to their God three times a day, it'd be hard pressed to see how many Christians pray to their God, our God, God Almighty, three times a day with that kind of repetition and fervency.
Amen. You know, they had that up in Canada, that last Muslim extremist with the van that ran over and killed all those people, and they had him at an arraignment in court this week, and he's praising Allah, praising ISIS, and you know, crying out to his God, to Allah. And you're right, how many of our people do that? We know that his God is a small g false god, and there's very, very limited power there. And we know that our God is the true God, and there's unlimited power with him. Power of overcoming death, of delivering through fire and raising from the dead. But you're right, John. How many people take it serious? How many people believe it? How many people believe it and not only read his word, but apply it to their lives and make the right choices and make, you know, it, and we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how many people do that? How many people make his will done in their lives? How many people forgo self and say, no, I'm not going to do this because that's not pleasing to my God? I think the majority of people don't even know anymore, because these filthy lukewarm churches try to tell them that what's pleasing to their God is sin. And it's not. It's not.
Well, they teach acceptance and tolerance under the guise of grace regarding sin. And that's how they justify it.
It is.
I don't know if you saw this, Jason. You've talked about it many times in the past. But it says, does the world's top weed killer cause cancer? And I was reading this article yesterday, and it really... makes a lot of sense, but it says every year farmers spray an average of almost a pound of herbicide of glyphosate on every acre of cropland in the U.S. and nearly a half pound on every acre of cropland. I don't know what that's kind of... Oh, worldwide, okay. Glyphosate is an active ingredient in Roundup, a huge source of income for the manufacturer Monsanto. And I guess recently the company Bayer, a German drug chemical company, agreed in September to buy Monsanto for $66 billion pending regulatory approvals. But when you read about this conglomerate, you see that what they did was they genetically modified the seed. They actually call it Roundup seed.
Roundup so ready.
Yeah, Roundup Ready seed. And so they got the farmers using this seed that's basically genetically engineered so that only their product can kill the weeds. And everybody seems to be happy about it. But now they're starting to figure out that it is a carcinogen. And there's thousands of farmers that have been stricken with, like, non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Some of the pilots that are doing the aerial spraying, and so there's huge lawsuits against it. But the thing I found kind of interesting too is the fact that they've spent over $60 million in the last 10 years lobbying for Monsanto and to try to cover up these things. The EPA has determined, I guess, every 15 years every pesticide needs to be examined and tested. And so by paying off the EPA the last time it was tested, they were given a clean bill for the 15 years. But now this whole deal kind of hinges on the fact of is there any validity to these claims that it is a carcinogen and that it does cause cancer. I mean, we know that for a fact that it does, but
And that's one of the reasons that they pushed GMOs and genetically modified stuff so heavily, is because when they genetically modify it, that's when they can make it a Roundup Ready product. It's interesting right now because Canada's getting their economy is really hinging on their wheat production, And this week, you know, well, for instance, right now there's 26 countries that will not, that have banned genetically modified GMOs, basically, genetically modified grains, wheat, corns. They've pretty much kicked out Monsanto. Those countries include Switzerland, Austria, Australia, China, India, France, Germany, Hungary, Greece, Bulgaria. There are several others. But anyway, they've really come down hard on it because they're testing. Says, hey, we don't want our people eating this. You know, we're looking out for the benefit of our people. We don't want to have these products, our people eating these products. So, and what was interesting is this week, the China sent... sent their I don't even know what they would call it in China, but basically they sent their food inspectors over to Canada, and Canada's got their harvesting wheat like crazy, and Canada is really, they've been fighting against letting people know what's in their grains, and they don't want to tell you, you know, if this is a genetically modified product or if it's not. They don't want to tell you if we use Roundup on it or if we don't. So. China just said, "Hey, we're not buying any wheat from you." And China is one of the biggest importers of wheat to their country, and they only produce 20% of the wheat that they get. They get a lot of it from Russia. They get a lot of it from Germany. They get a lot of it from Australia, predominantly United States and Canada. And they've always gotten their big suppliers of wheat was Canada and the United States. Well, their economy up in Canada was really based on a lot of what they were doing. Canada is a big wheat production country, and they have they've lost out big time on their contracts on wheat and wheat futures because of this all of these new laws that they've put into place that basically hide what their products are. And so it's going to be, and Canada's kind of crying the blues right now, saying, oh, yeah, we need these wheat contracts, and we need these contracts to go through. It's vital to our economy. And it's like, geez, you idiots, you know, I mean, can't you see the writing on the wall? But that all comes from this new prime minister of Canada, and I think that it's, I mean, I really think that it's, you know, they're reaping what they sowed, because if you looked at what's happening in Canada right now, it's just... you know, it's insane.
Yeah, I remember you reported a while back, maybe a couple of years ago, that what's also happening is those genetically modified seeds are migrating into the fields of the farmers who refuse to use those genetically modified seeds or the pesticides and things, and then those. Companies are suing the farmers, saying that they stole their technology, that they haven't paid for it, where they're doing everything they can to actually keep those genetically modified seeds from migrating into their crops. And there was a fair number of farmers that were losing their farms over.
Yeah, it's happened a lot, and it's interesting because when they sell that seed, is what they actually do is they sell a copyright to it. And copyrights is really different than a patent or, you know, buying a product. But they're having corn that's been cross pollinating across fields, and they say, oh well, that doesn't happen, and it does happen. And Monsanto is one of those companies that really goes out there, and they go out there and they send people out there to look for their copyrighted product, and if you don't have a license to produce it, you're going to be in trouble. And they hire ex-FBI agents. They hire, their workforce is quite astounding. It's of who they have working with them.
Their workforce could invade other nations.
Well, what's sad is there's, you know, you read these stories about some of these farmers in, like, Illinois is a big food-producing state, and some of these farmers, you know, they've been generation after generation after generation, and they recall the times, you know, when the way to get rid of the weeds was you'd fire up the tractor and you'd go out and you'd till the dark soil under a foot, you know, and the weeds would die as they were turned under, and then how many of them have hoarded themselves for huge sums of money, not really, you know, I guess it's the point where, you know, human life is down at the bottom of the spectrum, and gold and filthy lucre and all that is at the top of the spectrum. And this is a long article, and I read it, and there's, you know, a lot of these farmers who know better, and they understand these things. They've gone to work for the EPA and things like that, and they've produced rulings that no, there's no, you know, no problem with this stuff, but based on huge money.
Yeah, and that's what it boils down to. It's a money deal, and it's sad because even on Agro Talk Radio and in these agricultural magazines that are, you know, massively produced, you know, I mean, they'll come out there. It's interesting because they are really pushing right now. Well, we know GMOs and these genetically modified wheat crops and everything, that they're not a hazard to your health, and they're not a hazard to your animals, and they're not a hazard to the land. And there's so many people waking up right now that are interested in, you know, they want to stay away from it. They don't want to have anything to do with it. And it's really hurting their industry because there is so many people waking up on it. But it's for the first time, in a long time, over the last year, there has been so many articles that have been produced and published on, you know, hey, wait a minute, guys, GMOs are fine. They're not bad for you. They're not as bad as everything says. You know, you can eat it and it's not going to hurt you. And there's people out there, well, I eat GMO corn every day and it hasn't affected me. And it's interesting.
Yeah, the growth of clean and organic and holistic, you know, farms, small farms, co-ops, things like that, is growing as well. You see that around. You'll see co-ops, especially this time of the year, food co-ops and dairy co-ops, things that pop up where people are doing that. You know, they're getting away from the GMOs. They're getting away from the Roundup Ready, and they're growing on a not just a single family scale, but on a almost a small community scale, to where they'll have, you know, anywhere from 10 or 12 to a couple of hundred members in their co-ops, and that's growing all over the country. Of course, it's not advertised a whole lot. You have to look for it, but there's many that are waking up, that realize, like you said, Jason, that all this GMO stuff, we used to didn't have it, and we used to didn't have these problems, and that there's a better way, you know, from the heirloom seeds to, you know, more natural ways of weed and pest control versus just spraying everything. It's growing quite a bit. It is.
Of course, that benefits, you know, when they keep the people sick, it benefits another antichrist industry, the medical industry, and they know that.
Yeah, they really do.
They like it.
Yeah, they do.
And it's, you know, it's, I'll tell you what, this farming industry has changed so much, too, is they just got everything down to a protocol. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, how much water they get, how much rain that they get. I know I was talking with a farmer the other day and talking to him, well, how's the rain doing for, you know, is your corn going to be able to keep up with it? And, you know, and he's just like, yeah, you don't even worry about that anymore. He's like, with this genetically modified stuff, he's like, you plant it, you do the protocol, you spray, you know, and you look at the ground and they go in there, and this, what they do is they spray it before they plant, and they kill off everything, they turn it under, then they plant, and then they got a 6-week or 8-week fuligent that they spray on top of it, and no still weeds grow. I mean, you look at those fields, and it's just amazing because there is no weeds in there, and it's all the same height. And when that corn gets up, I mean, that corn just pops up and is growing like crazy. And here in another month or so, it's going to be, it'll be pretty high. And you look at the tops of that corn, and it's perfect. I mean, it's amazing to look at because everything's the same height, and every plant is identical.
And they call that a good thing. And and don't think it is. Guys, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. Good morning, man.
Good morning, Joe.
Oh, yeah, this control products industry is getting my goat, I'm telling you. For years and years, there have been, it's called Moose Media Productions. They put out a whole slew of these free color glossy magazines, farming and turf magazines, and, they're nothing more than agricultural journals. It's an armchair version of the Farm Expo. Every third page, you have some small article written by some establishment man. But the majority of these magazines push the control products. That's what they call it in the trade. And here in our county in PA, they have what's known as the Soil Conservation District. It's kind of like a county agent, and this guy's push what's known as no-till. I wonder if you all have that out in the West.
Yeah, yes. We do.
Yeah,
yes, they do push that quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's all geared towards the control products industry, which is nothing more than many years ago there was a guy who was on Radio Free America with Tom Valentine. He talked about they treat the soil as just a growing medium to hold the plant up while they medicate it. And they have this program, like I said, no-till. It's run by the county, but it's under the auspices of the USDA. And you can see these guys from a mile away. They got the white plates on the back of their pickups, and the trucks are loaded with literature, and they hand them out to the farmers. And they're just going gaga over this. What they have, and I saw this. It, not many people have, but it's a machine that is basically computer operated. It's towed behind a tractor, and it will drill the ground, put the seed in, cover it up, and cultipack it to the point where you have the bare soil, right? It hasn't been turned over. There's no manure involved. They just leave the old stalks in the ground, and they plant between the stuff like that, and then they come in after that, and they spray the ground with Roundup. And
yeah.
Sit back and wait, and you can tell these fields a mile away, there's acres and acres of this solid green, and everything is the same uniform color and shape and everything. Nothing small, there's no runts, everything is perfect. But the thing of it is, and I've talked to old-timey farmers in their 70s and 80s out here, and they're wondering, they can't figure out how they can plant, say, for instance, corn. How they can plant corn plants 6 inches apart in rows less than a foot wide. And they say they've never seen that before in all their lives. And I can remember as a kid riding my bicycle in between the corn plants in my town. There was enough room for a cultivator, a tractor, the row crops, tractor with the wide front wheels. It was all engineered towards tillage,
right?
And very few small farms actually did any spraying.
That's right. But everything now, Joe, is just it's it's a business. Like Jason said, it's a protocol. It's you plant this. It's all computer controlled, and they pack as much in as they can. You know, they can get if they tighten them up, they can get, you know, they know they can get so many more rows, so many more plants, and
yep.
They don't have to worry about bugs. They don't have to worry about tilling because they're spraying everything. And but none of that affects any of the people. See, all that's washed off and just goes. You know, it's like the growth hormones that they implant in these steers today. You know, we had a neighbor did that a couple years ago. We were talking about it, and I commented on how big his steer was getting, how fast. He's like, well, you know, we got that implant. And it was like, well, really? You? Oh yeah. Oh, but it's you know, it's dissipated by the time you slaughter them. So it doesn't affect me, you know, it doesn't affect you. And it's like, yeah, you just keep on doing that, buddy. I don't want anything to do with it. But it is these, you know, in the food that's grown, in the animals that are grown for food, that are raised for food products. If there's ever been a time to be praying, and we've said this before, but it continues to be that way, to pray over our food, to bless our food, to stand on the promise that if it has been sprayed or implanted with poison, that it has no effect on us.
Mm-hmm.
If there's ever been
God's
a time, it's now.
God's got a cure for those genetically modified fields. It's called hail. And we've seen it.
Saw some of that last week, didn't you?
Time and time again, yeah. But, you know, I think another thing that's important, and Jason knows more about it than any of us, but with the quality of today's food, even the stuff that they call organic, I mean, there's some, like you say, in the co-ops, that's good food that if you can trust the people who grow it, which
yes.
That's questionable as well. But the other thing is a lot of the stuff that's organic or marked, quote, organic these days, the standards have been reduced significantly. But I guess the bottom line is the quality of the food just isn't there anymore. The nutrients that we need to stay healthy and to fight off these viruses and diseases and all these things, it's just not there anymore. And you really need to get some sort of a good supplement. And,
yes.
And I'm not necessarily just pushing a specific brand, but, you know, Jason's got me on some stuff that's a supplement, Dr. Dan's stuff, and, I mean, vitamin D and things, just basic things, vitamin E,
yes.
Things that we used to be able to get in the food we don't get anymore. And it's really important that you get on some sort of a supplement if you want to remain healthy and vibrant, I believe.
Well, there's also an alternative to even supplementing your fresh fruits and vegetables, is that especially this time of the year, and I don't know how it is out in the plains and in the mountains, but in the east here, when it greens up, you can actually harvest, go along the edges of the places where the grass is starting to green up. That's the sign. You can actually harvest dark green leafy vegetables for your dinner right out of the ground, and it won't cost you anything. It's called foraging. Many of these vegetable items were actually sold on French and Italian markets in Victorian times and even before that. Plants such as purslane and even chickweed. You go to these upscale health markets, food markets.
Right.
And you go into the organic section, and you'll see these dandelion leaves in bunches with rubber bands on them, and they're actually making money on weeds.
Yeah, how about that? Well, Joe, thanks for the call. We're out of time this morning, buddy.
Have a good one there.
You too.
All right, bye.
Thanks, Joe.
Well, guys, we are just about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us this morning, and want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow. You can do that. You can start at 8:30 in the morning, 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and that's 7:30 for you guys on the West Coast. And just come to scriptures4america.org. You can click right on. If you have a good internet, you can click on the live video stream. You can also click on the live audio stream. It's streamed out on the shortwave on WTWW, as well as the audio satellite. And join us for church. We'll start out with a review of the news. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. And you heard John mention the message that he's being given, so I'm looking forward to that, because we do have to warn. And I think many people want to know, you know, just how do they do that? And they need to know, you know, what that Great Commission is. And we'll have communion. We'll have some music. And so we invite you to join us at church. You can come to church. We've had a brother from up north, him and his wife are traveling down visiting. They're going to stop by and see us. And got another brother from Texas coming out for a couple weeks in July. So, again, there's the invite. We'd love to have you out. Give us a call. Let us know. And we'll look forward to seeing you there. Well, men, thanks so much. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay calm. Country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving, oh, curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.